we need to keep Christ the center of Christmas. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure in all the festivities that we have that we tell our families the Christmas story. And that's what the choir would like to do this morning, to share with you the greatest story that's ever been told, a story that's drenched in the love of God for man. Story of God sending his only begotten Son from heaven's glory to take the form of a man, to live among us, to be tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. The story that will develop into that sinless Son of God, allowing us to nail him to a cross. Story that while on that cross, God placed on him every one of humankind's sin. Every one of my sin, every one of your sins, God put on Jesus Christ, and he bore it that day on Calvary. It's a story of Jesus dying and paying the price. But the story starts one night in a little town called Bethlehem. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Of course, we all know today that giving of gifts is an integral part of Christmas. It wouldn't be Christmas unless we expressed our love to others by giving gifts. But the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift ever given, is the basis of Christmas. It's the gift that God gave to each of us when he sent Jesus to earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was born on Christmas Day, but the word had to get out. The word had to be spread. The message had to be heralded. It had to be told. It had to be shared. God could have chosen to announce it in the courts of royalty to the kings and that ruled on the earth at that time. Instead, he decided to share it with a small group of shepherds, picturing one day that his gift would become the good shepherd that would give his life for his sheep. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels came. They told the shepherds. And when the shepherds heard the news, they just didn't let it go in one ear and out the other. They said, "We've heard this heavenly message. Let's go see for ourselves what God has done." And our prayer this morning is that you'll do the same thing. That you'll not just hear the story, but you'll check it out for yourself. And you'll see how it can affect not only the rest of your life that you live on this earth, but how it can affect where you will spend eternity. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. But the message was just not a message that was sent to the hills of Bethlehem. It's a message that needs to be sent around the world. We read in the East that, in the Bible, that men in the East saw the message in a star, and they came seeking the King of the Jews. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I want you to hear the Christmas story in maybe a way that you haven't heard it before, but we've sung it with some of the old hymns that tell the Christmas story, but let me just tell it to you in perhaps a different way. I'll make several points. The first one is that all of us, every single one of us, are lost in the darkness of sin. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You say, "Preacher, you must not know me very well, because I'm a pretty good guy." And I'm sure and I know that some of the finest people that live in the world are in this room this morning. And when we compare ourselves to other people, maybe what we think of ourselves is true. Maybe when we compare ourselves to other people, that we're not bad. Because every single one of us can always find somebody that's worse than we are, that live their life in such a way that it's worse than ours. But the Bible says to us, don't compare yourselves to other men. Compare yourself to the glory of God. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to him, if we're honest at all, we have to say, we come up short. We come up short. And again, maybe we are pretty good folks, but the Bible says that if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all. So if we've missed the mark in one point, we're just as guilty as the person who's missed the mark in all points. And like I said in Sunday school this morning, it doesn't matter how far we've missed the mark. Maybe you've only missed it a little bit. It doesn't matter how far we've missed it. The important point is that we've missed it. And because we've missed the mark, it makes us sinners. The second thing I would tell you this morning is that there's nothing we can do to get out of that darkness of sin on our own. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and left to our own devices, left to what we could do on our own, the only thing that we can do is pay the price that we owe. Again, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. It's talking about being separated from God. That's the wages of sin. A holy, righteous God, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, has to separate himself from sin. It's part of his nature. He would not continue to be righteous if he allowed sin to come into his presence. And so again, left to our own devices, the only thing that we can do is to pay the price for our sin, to die spiritually, to be separated from God. The third thing I would point out to you, and this This is the good news of the Bible. This is the blessedness of the Christmas story. God loved us. Just let that sink in for a little while. God loved you, a sinner. A sinner who had missed the mark. A sinner who had failed to measure up to perfection that God revealed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us. He loved me. He loved you. And he proved his love toward us while we were yet sinners. He sent Jesus to die for us. You know, throughout the Old Testament, God gave us pictures of what he would do. He told us in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, that his son would be born of, not in Micah, but he told us in the Old Testament that his son would be born of a virgin. He tells us in the book of Micah he would be born in the city of Bethlehem. He even tells us, if you study the book of Daniel, when he would be born. The Bible says about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came as the light of the world. He came to show us God. He came to provide a way for us to be right with God. As I mentioned in Sunday school, the price of sin still had to be paid. God does not put aside his justice. He does not put aside his righteousness. The price of sin still had to be paid. And Jesus came to pay that price. The fourth thing I would remind you of this morning is that not only did God love us and send Jesus to die for us, but that he did. He did. Born of a virgin, laid in a manger in Bethlehem, and every way at the exact time that God had revealed in the Old Testament. He lived a perfect life, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then he allowed us, he allowed mankind to take him, nail him to a cross. And as he hung on that cross, God laid on him every one of our sins. Just think about it. Just review your life for a minute. Think about all the things that you did that you know you shouldn't have. Think about all the things you should have done that you know you didn't. Every single one of them, God placed on his son as Jesus hung on Calvary, and he paid the price for every one of those sins. And then the fifth thing and the last thing that I'd remind you of this morning is that if you will trust Jesus, he will save you. There's a story in the book of Acts about a man that too was lost in the darkness of sin. He was a warden at a prison. God got his attention one night by sending an earthquake. He had two preachers in the prison that night, and at the end of the earthquake, after God had dealt with them, the warden went running to those two preachers, and he asked the question that every sinner needs to ask, what must I do to be saved? And the answer that they gave him that night in that Philippian jail is still true. It works just as much today as it did those many years ago. Those two preachers told that Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe that you're a sinner, and that sin separates you from God. Believe that God loves you and sent Jesus to pay the price of your sin. Believe that on the cross, Jesus bore every one of our sins and paid the price. And because he did that, he can offer life. Life. And believe that if you ask him, he will save you. That's what the warden did that night. He asked Jesus to save him, and I believe that warden of that prison in that Philippian jail is in heaven this morning with his Savior. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to save you, would you do it now? You need to do it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The Bible says in the book of Romans, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder if you're here and you say, preacher, there's never been a time in my life where I've done that. There's never been a time in my life where I've admitted to God that I was a sinner and I knew I needed to be saved and I asked Jesus to save me. I wonder if you'd do it this morning. I wonder if you'd do it right now. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church, although I think being a Baptist is a pretty good thing, and I think joining this church is a pretty good thing. What I'm asking you is far more important than those things. I'm asking you to make sure that you know that you're in the family of God. The Bible says in the book of John, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to save you, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that now. We're going to bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. Chris is going to come and get ready for the invitation. And I'm going to pray. And I wonder if every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you would say with an uplifted hand, hey, preacher, I've never done that. I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I'd like you to pray that God would help me do that this morning. Can you just lift your hand, hold it up just for a second, and let me see it. Is there one here this morning that would say, I've never asked Jesus to save me, and I'd like to do that this morning? Is there just one? Father, you know our hearts. You know those that might be here this morning that have not asked Christ to save them. And so I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would speak to them. You would show them how desperate they are in their sin. And the only hope that they have is to come to Jesus Christ. Father, help them now, even now in these moments, to ask Jesus to save them. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.